We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And welcome to Overnight America. No, this is not Ryan Recker. This is Brad Young sitting in the big chair for Ryan Recker, who's actually been filling in for Mark Reardon, I believe. So I'll be with you till 1 a.m. after the heartbreaking loss by the Blues to the Blackhawks. Mike Anderson, producer. I really thought that Tarasenko was going to get a shot in right there about the middle of the third period, but it didn't happen. So in any event, we've got lots of stuff to go through this evening. I've got a long list of things to cover, and a lot of it certainly I would like to hear from you on. But before we talk about anything, you know, it is snowing, and that's, I know, Captain Obvious. But I got to tell you a quick story. I first worked in radio when I was in high school, an extremely small town in southern Illinois, population 5,000, and that's counting the cats and dogs. So I'm working at this small town radio station. I'm a junior in high school, and I'm at the radio station one night, much like tonight. It was snowing. It's a blowtorch of a radio station, 5,000 watts. And so I'm working at night, and it's snowing, and it's like a Tuesday or a Wednesday evening. And the thought occurred to me, since everyone in town, this is pre-internet, this is long before Al Gore invented the internet. And so it occurred to me that everyone in town would listen to this radio station to find out if there's school tomorrow. That was the only way people would know if there's school, is they would turn on the radio station. And it occurred to me that if I said on the radio that school is canceled tomorrow, even though it wasn't, the school would be vacant and I would be a champion among my classmates. They would build a statue in my honor. I would be the coolest guy that ever lived if I went on and said, you know, we just got a call and school is canceled tomorrow. Of course, I would have been fired, but, you know, you're in high school. I'm not making any money. The thought did cross my mind, but being the Christian man that I was, I decided that would not be something I should be doing. So I didn't do it. But I've got to tell you, as I look out the window and I see it snowing, you know, that same thought did occur to me. So, but in any event, to find out what schools are in fact closed, obviously you can check in at camox.com, and we'll try to update you through the evening on that as well. The other thing before we go through are all the things that we have on tap for this evening. The other thing in the news is that St. Louis's own Michael Avenatti made the news today, but not in the way that I think that he would have liked. He's been talking for a while now, and if you don't remember who he is, he's Stormy Daniels' attorney. And so, you know, that's the way that I want to be known, as the attorney for strippers everywhere. And so Michael Avenatti, the pride of St. Louis, I think he also went to Washington University School of Law, Parkway Central grad, I think. In any event, he made the news today because I think he was beating his wife. And I'm not mocking him for that. I'm just suggesting that for the last year, he's been talking about how he's going to become the Democrat nominee for president in 2020. And I think he can give up the website AvenattiForPresident.com. I think he can give that up because he probably won't be needing it. Also, just a couple of random thoughts before we jump into what's going on this evening. And we probably won't get into this tonight, but I know you've heard about the ballot counting going on in Florida. And this is not 2000 all over again, and you've not stepped into a time machine. I know you've heard about it, but what you have not heard is this. I read this today. Some guy, and I don't know his name yet, I'm going to look into it, he captured a giant 19.5-foot-long python in the Florida Everglades yesterday. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Well, apparently he cut it open and found three boxes of uncounted Democrat ballots. in the Python. So, Broward County, I don't know what they do with their ballots, but they're always turning up in the weirdest places. Trunks of cars, perhaps there was even some in the bathroom where Hillary Clinton kept her email server. I don't know where they all are, but they're certainly trying to find all of those up. But jokes aside, you know, the Democrat election official in charge of the recount down there in Broward County, I think her name is Brenda Snipes. She was asked today how many more ballots would be counted. And in response, I think she said, quote, "Well, how many more votes do we need to elect the Democrat to the Senate?" I think that, well, maybe that wasn't her answer. And yeah, maybe I just made that up. But in any event, it's just shocking to me that we're once again looking to Florida to count the ballots, and we're going to have litigation over whether we can count the ballots and whether there's dangling Chad. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to see that one bald guy that was holding up the magnifying glass to his eyes to try to see where the line was. I don't know if we're going to see that guy again. Hopefully somebody will get him to comment on yet again another ballot fiasco in the state of Florida. But we talked about this Monday. I was sitting in on Monday, and the news broke Monday about Stan Lee passing away. And, of course, you know, Stan Lee, who doesn't know Stan Lee? If you were alive in the 60s or 70s, you heard this song playing in the background of the cheesy Spider-Man cartoon. And I got to tell you, it makes me smile and it makes me laugh just to hear this song, Mike. And I, you know, this is too old for you. I know this is old school for you, Mike, producer Mike. But that cartoon was great when you were, of course, when you were seven. It was very exciting when you're seven. And then if you watch it now, it's not nearly as exciting. But here's what's interesting. We didn't really talk about this much on Monday because it was Veterans Day and there was more weighty issues to discuss. But tonight, if you've got a favorite Marvel character, and I'm going to talk some about Stan Lee and how he really revolutionized not just the comic book industry, but ultimately the movie industry. If you've got a favorite character, and certainly there's a whole bunch, whether it's the X-Men or Iron Man or Hulk or Thor or Spider-Man, if you've got a favorite or a funny story about that, feel free to call us. Of course, phone lines are open 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. I started reading comic books when it was truly one of the nerdiest things you could possibly do. All right, it was. And, you know, the joke was, if you went to a comic book store, the last thing you would ever find there would be a girl. And it was extremely nerdy, and I read a lot of them, and I would deliver papers, and first thing I'd do is go out and buy more comic books. And yes, it was nerdy. And of course, now nerds rule the world. I mean, if you look at the top richest people, most of them have something to do with tech. So being a nerd isn't necessarily uncool anymore, but it is still extremely nerdy. But if you look at all of the top grossing movies at the box office, every one of them, or virtually every one of them, is a comic book movie. Except if you throw in the occasional Star Wars movie, except for that, they're all comic book movies. And in fact, the Oscars were going to create a new category that was discussed this year, to create a new category for, I think it was called Achievement in Popular Themes, or some kind of gobbledygook like that. But the bottom line is, it was going to be the Oscar for the best movie about somebody wearing tights, or, you know, something that was the gist of it. But every movie, of course, is a big blockbuster movie, is a Marvel movie and a comic book movie. So certainly that is going to be, that's going to be continuing. But Stan Lee is the one who gets credit for conceptualizing how these movies are done. And we'll get into that as the show unfolds this evening. The other thing we're going to be talking about, and, I'll just kind of highlight this before we go to the break. But, you know, Thanksgiving is next week. And one of the things I even started talking with my wife about this week was, what are we going to do for Thanksgiving, and who's being invited to our house, and, you know, what kind of food are we going to eat? So in today's day of modern polling, everything, there's a poll on everything. There's polling data for any type of information you want. And one of the polls that I tracked down today was polling data of what are the favorite foods for Thanksgiving. And we have it broken down by different regions, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But certainly, if you've got your favorite food to eat for Thanksgiving, I want to hear about it. We can chat about that as well this evening. And, you know, the thing that they say is you don't talk about religion or politics when you have your relatives over. So my suggestion is you get all your relatives liquored up, and then you ask the question, is Trump a Christian? I mean, that's the question you ask when everyone's loaded. And I can promise you it will be a Thanksgiving that you will never forget. I can promise you that. And the other couple of things we're going to be talking about this evening is that CNN filed suit against the White House. They filed that lawsuit today. And I've read through the lawsuit. I'm going to be giving you some of my analysis of the lawsuit. And this is over the Jim Acosta situation. And you may recall that Jim Acosta, who is a correspondent for CNN, had his press credentials removed after an altercation with a White House intern. No, it's not like a Bill Clinton altercation with a White House intern. This was an altercation over whether they can give up the mic or not. So the press credentials were removed. And today, CNN filed a lawsuit alleging a constitutional challenge, violation of the freedom of the press, all kinds of things. And I'm going to go through all of that with you this evening as we talk about whether CNN's going to prevail against the White House, and if so, why. And the final thing we're going to talk about between now and 1 a.m. will certainly be something that you probably have not heard about. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to decide whether a 40-foot cross at a military cemetery on state property, I think it's in Maryland, whether that violates the First Amendment's ban on establishment of religion. So that's not something you've heard about because we're too busy talking about Michael Avenatti. We're too busy talking about Jim Acosta. We're too busy talking about what did Trump tweet out today, which keeps us all busy, at least keeps the news media busy. And when something, I think, substantial goes to the Supreme Court, then at that point, sometimes that gets shoved to the background. So those are the four things we're going to be talking about today. And when we come back from this break, we're going to wade in on some of the Stan Lee information, maybe some stuff that you didn't know, to talk about how he revolutionized the comic book industry, but more importantly, how he revolutionized the movie industry. If you'd like to be a part and share, you know, who's your favorite superhero, certainly we'd like to hear from you. 314-436-7900. This is Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker on KMOX. We'll be right back.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120, KMOX. Depend on it.
Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America on KMOX. And we're talking about Stan Lee. And I wanted to talk about this Monday night, but it was Veterans Day. And I really didn't want to talk about Stan Lee in place of veterans. If you put them in terms of importance, obviously there's no comparison. So since I knew I'd be back this evening, I wanted to follow up on the Stan Lee because, you know, a lot of us, if you think of Stan Lee right now, all you think about is the fact that he does funny cameos in the Marvel movies. And he's kind of like a modern day Alfred Hitchcock in terms of you start watching the movie and you think, where's Stan Lee cameo going to be? And I did read that he's already shot, I think, a cameo for the next Avengers movie, and certainly hope that that makes it into the movie. But the guy did more than just cameos for movies. And he really revolutionized not just the comic book industry, but also the movie industry. And he was not a great guy. He did a lot of things that were questionable. And so certainly, even though he's passed away, I'm not going to gloss over some of those things. I'm going to discuss some of them this evening. And certainly, if you've got some favorite characters, if you'd like to call in and share that this evening, you're certainly welcome to do that. 314-436-7900. And I mentioned the story, and I'm going to tell it again quickly. I mentioned this Monday evening, but I remember, as a kid, one of my favorite comic books was the Fantastic Four. And one of the characters on there was the Invisible Woman, and her powers were always described as the fact that she could bend light rays around her body. And that's the way that she became invisible, because the light would bend around. They wouldn't bounce off of her in any way. And so because of that, she became invisible. But as I would always read, and this is just how nerdy I am, I would even read the letters in the back of the comic books. That's just how nerdy I am. And in the back, there was somebody wrote in and said, well, I've got a question. If the invisible woman becomes invisible by bending light rays around her, wouldn't she then become blind when she's invisible, because the light rays would never bounce off of her retina? And the response from the Marvel editors was this: well, you got us. And I've always, even to this day, I've appreciated that as a response, because it was probably some 12-year-old kid that thought of that. And of course, none of the writers ever thought of that. But some great characters like X-Men or Iron Man or Hulk or Thor, and of course, Spider-Man. But the thing that Stan Lee did when he didn't start out owning Marvel, and that's one thing that needs to be stated from the get-go. He wasn't the founding member of Marvel. Marvel was started by a guy named Martin Goodman. And Lee came in as a writer, and he came in and he kind of worked his way up the ladder of running Marvel, and eventually he did. But it wasn't like he started it or was the founding member. And yet, if you ask folks today, Marvel and Stan Lee are kind of interchangeable. I mean, you can't really separate the one from the other in the mind of the public, and yet he wasn't the one that started it. But one of the things that Stan Lee did is that he, at least in my opinion, he invented the concept of what we now know today as fandom. He invented that. I mean, if you look around, there's Star Trek conventions, there's cosplay conventions, there's a convention for everything. There's newsletters, there are fanboys and fangirls, and people dress up and really get into this stuff. And Stan Lee was the kind of guy that actually started that concept. He started doing it with something called newsletters. He called it the Marvel Bullpen Bulletin. And he would send out these newsletters, and of course he figured out a way to make money on it by publishing advertising within the newsletter. But that was a way to generate enthusiasm, and he would give behind-the-scenes information and tell things about the writers and how they develop characters, and that built loyalty, brand loyalty, to Marvel Comics at a time when the comic book industry was just kind of getting started in the 60s. And so he did that, but he also used Marvel Comics, frankly, to promote himself. And there are a lot of stories, and I won't go into all the minutiae of the details on this, but he's really credited with starting and inventing Spider-Man. And for many years, Stan Lee would say that he was the one that invented Spider-Man, and that's not really true. There was a guy named, I think his name was Steve Ditko, who invented Spider-Man along with Stan Lee, but Stan Lee took credit for it. And so he did a lot of that, and I think he was sued on more than one occasion for situations like that, where he would kind of take over a character or a comic book and say that it was his, when in reality it certainly wasn't. But he did move up from editor to editor in chief and publisher, and he collaborated with Ditko. And it's interesting that Steve Ditko, who co-invented Spider-Man, he left Marvel in 1966, and by most accounts, he did that because of Stan Lee. And when we're going to take a break now, but when we come back, I'm going to go through how Stan Lee kind of invented our modern sense of how these movies are intertwined, because that was a Stan Lee invention that he started with comic books, and it went to the movies. Certainly when Marvel started making movies, and now when Disney bought it, they've not only carried on the tradition, but they've found a way to make billions off of it. So we're talking about Stan Lee. If you've got a favorite character, certainly would love to hear it. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America.
Now, more of Overnight America with Ryan Recker on Gangnam OX.
Welcome back to Camo X, Brad Young, Overnight America, and we're talking comics. So, yeah, that's right. Get out your slide rules, put some tape on your glasses, and nerd out. We're going to talk about Stan Lee and comics. And Rob's called in with a question about Stan Lee. Rob, welcome to Camo X.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I was curious. Stan Lee, after he sold all the rights to Disney, I think it was, obviously left him a very wealthy man. I wondered who inherited his wealth. Was he married? Did he have children? Does anyone know?
Well, the folks do know, and that's a great question. Before we kind of break that down, I want to talk about the money for just a moment, because I was looking into this today, and Marvel movies, just the movies, have made $24 billion. But Stan Lee sold the rights to the movies a long time ago. I mean, years ago. And so when he's credited in movies as the executive producer, that was just kind of an honorary title. So when I tell you his estimated net worth was between $50 million and $80 million, I mean, Rob, I don't know about you, but for me, that's a lot of money. I mean, you may be a billionaire, Rob. I'm not sure, but $50 million to $80 million is a lot of money. But when you hear that the movies made $24 billion, most people think that Stan Lee was making a lot more jack than what he actually was. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, as far as Stan Lee goes, we don't know. In fact, I looked earlier today. I've not seen any indication as to his will. I do know that he was married a few times. I do know that some of his relatives were fighting over his money when he was in poor health. And so I think we're going to see what we saw with when Prince died a couple of years ago, and certainly when Aretha Franklin died earlier this year. We're going to see probably some folks fighting over the remaining money. And my dad, Rob, I don't know if you've ever heard this. My dad always liked to say that if you really want to get to know somebody, share an inheritance with them. And okay. And that's a great way to get to know somebody. But obviously you've got an interest in Stan Lee. Any favorite comic book characters, Rob?
Well, they were all favorites. I thought it was brilliant vision. But there's really not one that stands out to me, except in the film part of it. I'd say Iron Man is like the most sophisticated. I mean, God Almighty. It's just so sophisticated that, you know, the script writing and everything is just, it amazes me. And it would seem to me that if there's a number one character for me, it would have to be Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your mind, though, since you've seen the movies, because I grew up reading Iron Man as a comic book, but in your mind, can you differentiate between Iron Man and... and I'm sorry, I'm just drawing a blank here. The guy that plays Iron Man is who? Robert Downey Jr. So
right.
do you kind of mix those now in your head? I mean, do you see him as a character, or do you see it as Robert Downey Jr. who puts on a suit?
No, I think he's perfectly cast in the role, and I think he just carries it off brilliantly. And mm-hmm. all the like, for example, Jeff Bridges was one of the Obadine...
Obadiah Stane, I think, was the character.
Yeah, and Gwyneth Paltrow, she's a perfect girlfriend. I mean, it's just all of it. To me, those films are the most sophisticated as compared with, the Avengers, Spider-Man. I mean, they're all great, but Iron Man, just the film part of it and the casting, it just, you know, it knocks me out. The story writing is so clever. I just don't think it gets better than that.
It's really good. Let me share two quick things with you before you go, Rob, as far as Iron Man goes. First of all, in the comics, and yeah, I can't get across to you how nerdy of a guy I actually am. In the current Iron Man comic books, Iron Man is kind of on a sabbatical, and the person in the suit is a 14-year-old black girl who is an MIT grad and super smart. So the question becomes, when we do a reboot of all these characters, how is Marvel/Disney going to handle Iron Man? Are they going to stick with the traditional Tony Stark, or are they going to go with what's currently in the comic books? We don't know, but Rob, it sounds like you'll be on top of it either way.
Well, thank you. I just... That's another thing you just brought up. I mean, where do they go from here? I mean, how more complex? How many more times can you, you know, reheat the villain, and you know, how does it all end up? And I just, you know, it seems like common day science fiction films are so sophisticated that I just don't see where can it go.
Where do you go from here? Well, they're going to reboot the characters after the next set of movies, and we'll have to wait to see how the rebooted characters compare with the characters that right now we all have grown to know and love. But Rob, thanks for calling in this evening.
You bet.
You take care. Joe's calling in, not necessarily with a comic book question, although I one could say that Michael Avenatti is kind of a comic book character in of himself. But Joe, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I'm remembering how it was stressed when the Supreme Court judge was up. Let's remember that he's only been accused of this stuff, and it's the news has already been released that Avenatti praised the police for their professionalism, said this is completely bogus. He's never hit a woman in his life, and they soon after, a couple hours after that, his wife, estranged wife, said there's never been violence between. He didn't hit me at all, or any. There's never been any violence between the two of us, and it was a different woman that signed the complaint, and the person Josh Rubenstein or something is a media person for the Los Angeles Police Department. He came from a weatherman straight to the police department as a media expert, and this. I wouldn't say that Avenatti's not capable of doing anything. My gosh, he's been kind of a wild character, but I would give him a chance to defend himself and get this stuff all straightened out before you jump to the conclusions that just because the headline is kind of neat to read, oh, Avenatti's smacked his ex-wife around, or, you know, that sounds good, but she's already denied that that happened, and they've identified the other woman, and, Avenatti says the woman hit him.
Mm-hmm. But he was arrested, though, and so we do have it that he was arrested for alleged domestic abuse, and so certainly there had to be sufficient information, sufficient probable cause for an arrest. We'll get the details. We'll get the details later on that, Joe. But I know that you'll stay on top of it, and we appreciate you calling in this evening on KMOX Overnight America. Now, we were talking about Stan Lee, and when we come back from this break, I'm going to kind of get in with you in terms of the details of how Stan Lee really transformed Hollywood because of his vision. He sold it to Marvel. Marvel sold it to Disney. We're going to talk about that on KMOX Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. We'll be right back.
News at the top of every hour. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Brad Young, Overnight America, sitting in for Ryan Recker, and we're talking about Stan Lee this evening. And again, if you've got a favorite Marvel character or some favorite stories about reading comics or interesting ideas about comic book characters related to Stan Lee, certainly feel free to give us a call, 314-436-7900. And it's interesting because of all the characters that Stan Lee is credited with creating, at least in my opinion, the greatest character he ever created was Stan Lee, because his real name was Stanley Lieber, and that was his real name. And so he kind of created this persona of Stan Lee, and obviously he ultimately changed his name to that, and that became him. But kind of like how Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man, and they're interchangeable, and you know, you really can't separate one from the other, Stan Lee became a character. And to me, that was what was fascinating. And in the 1960s and 70s, you got to think about some of those old time comics in the 60s and 70s. Certainly, most of the stuff that was being put out by DC at the time, there was no diversity of any kind. Every good guy was white male. Every bad guy was a white male. and the really females were simply damsels in distress, and there were no minorities of any kind. But Stan Lee worked with several folks at Marvel at the time in the 1960s, and he created two characters that we know very well today, and one of them is Black Panther. And Black Panther, certainly a blockbuster movie from last year. We're going to see a lot more movies from Black Panther. And the other character that he created in the 1960s, and really I guess this was probably in the early 70s, was a character by the name of Luke Cage. And if you've got Netflix, you'll know that Luke Cage has a series. I believe it was just two seasons, and it may have recently been canceled by Netflix. But certainly the comics were extremely strong, extremely popular, and Luke Cage was a black male who identified himself as a Christian, and he held out values and morals, and it was really something different than what you would see, certainly in the 1960s and 70s. There was nothing else like it. So Stan Lee, where he kind of struggled, though, was in his attempts to find female superheroes, because in the DC world, of course, the elephant in the room, as it were, is Wonder Woman on the DC side. Extremely popular, lots of sales. Only recently did that translate over into movies. Certainly was the Linda Carter TV series in the 1960s or 1970s that was extremely popular. But DC had Wonder Woman, and there was no real comparable female superhero at Marvel. And of course, right now, I think we've got Brie Larson, who's coming out as Captain Marvel in a movie in the spring. But if you know anything about comic books, you'll know that Captain Marvel started out as a man, and only recently did that switch over to be a female character. So although I think Stan Lee was excellent at groundbreaking with comic books when it came to minorities, his track record wasn't quite as good when it came to female characters, because frankly, Marvel struggled to find a female superhero to match Wonder Woman. It was in the DC universe. But despite this this messy history of maybe females and certainly struggling to bring minorities to the comic book world, one of the things that Stan Lee did was he was a very strong advocate, and certainly I'm sure that money was part of this, but he was a very strong advocate for bringing comic book characters to both the big screen and the small screen, because he saw the vision, and this is where I really wanted to get to this evening. Stan Lee saw the vision of these intertwined, interconnected universes, and he wanted to do that in terms of the business model. He wanted to have a TV version. And remember, in the 1970s and 80s, we had the Incredible Hulk TV series with Bill Bixby, and Lou Ferrigno, I think, was the Incredible Hulk. And that, of course, spurred more comic book sales. And the more comic books that were sold, the more people wanted to watch the TV show. And so Stan Lee had a vision for a synergistic effect between different media, that the television and movies would increase comic book sales and vice versa. And that really wasn't done before Stan Lee. That was his vision. So the other thing, if you've read very many comic books at all, is that the comic book world was, and this was, again, 100% Stan Lee, is that he would create interconnected comic book runs. So, in fact, you would see Iron Man was a very strong comic, but then Iron Man would come and join the Avengers. So if you were a comic book fan of Iron Man, then you would want to cross over and read the Avengers, and vice versa. And then there would be a crossover where Spider-Man and Iron Man would team up for a series of comics. And so you would get to know Spider-Man, then you'd start buying the Spider-Man comics. So he created these interconnected universe in the comic book world. And he would do it in such a way, not just that you would become familiar with a character, but if you were reading an Iron Man and Spider-Man was in it, then they would carry the story on in the Spider-Man comic book. So then you would have to go buy the Spider-Man comic book, because you had to see how the story turns out. And that was the first real experience that we had in a media of this interconnected universe. So when Marvel got started as a movie house and a movie production company before they were bought by Disney, then Marvel carried over that Stan Lee concept of having an interconnected universe. So you had the Iron Man movie, and then you had a Captain America movie, but then they all tied in their storylines to come together to the Avengers. So you had to go see the Avengers movie because they already had you hooked with the other characters. Brilliant, brilliant cross-marketing that Stan Lee came up with. And so when he carried that over to Marvel, then, of course, once Disney came in and wrote a check for, I don't know, $4 billion, I think, was the purchase price for Marvel, maybe $4.5 billion. Whatever it was cheap. I mean, who can say that $4 billion is cheap? But when you look at the box office receipts, these movies have grossed $26 billion collectively. And so when Disney bought it for $4.5 billion, that's pocket change, because that doesn't include the merchandising. That doesn't include the toys. That doesn't include the licensing. I mean, if you go to Schnucks or Deerberg's and you go down the aisle, the snack cracker aisle, you're going to see every product under the sun with Spider-Man's mug pasted on it, because they're selling licensing and they're making a mint on that. So Marvel bought into that interconnected universe. And when Disney then bought Marvel, they carried that on. And so that has been immensely popular. And of course, now you see that Disney is using that same interconnected universe with the Star Wars movies. So there's multiple lines of Star Wars movies, and they all tie in together. And we've seen that DC and Warner Brothers has been trying to do the same thing, but it just hasn't been the same level of quality. Hasn't been the same level of excitement. Whatever that magic spark is that Lee could inject into the movies and that was carried on with his legacy, whatever that spark did not carry over to the DC universe, because they have not successfully replicated that idea of the interconnected universe. Now, they did in the comics. They absolutely did in the comics, but they just could not carry that interconnected universe over to the movies. The Superman movies were good, and certainly Batman has been extremely popular, but that interconnected synergy, we've just not seen that. And then finally, just briefly, the beauty that Stan Lee brought to the characters is that his characters were flawed. I mean, if you look at Superman, every comic book, what's got to happen? There's going to be kryptonite somewhere, because that's his only fault. But Stan Lee created characters that we could relate to because they had faults. We'll be back with Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.